Jeez.
Good morning, church.
Good morning, baby.
Can y'all hear me?
Good morning,
church.
Good morning.
All right. Welcome. It's a good day to be in the house of worship, yes?
Amen.
All right. So announcements. For online prayer requests, please email those in to jenkinsprayer@gmail.com. If you're online today, welcome. Thank you for being here with us. You can send in your prayer requests. Kind of make it early in the service so that we can get your prayers accounted for. Jenkins Kids today is with Julie and Marie, and Child Care is with Liz and Joy.
Thank you, Julie and Marie.
All right. Lunch Bunch. Tuesday, August 12th at 11:30 a.m. It's going to be at the Chop House in Murfreesboro. Please RSVP to the Alamores by Monday.
Stevie, do you guys need to know on that one? We good?
Okay. We have a new weekday Bible study. I believe it started last week. And we're going over people from the Bible. This Wednesday, it's at 3 p.m., and it'll be in the sanctuary.
And we're looking, help me, Bible study people, help me, we're looking at Rahab and Ruth, right? Is that who we were looking at? Rahab and Ruth this week, so, yeah.
Cool. Awesome.
Oh, damn. Rahab and Ruth? Well, if you come Wednesday, I can tell you.
We are having a barbecue fundraiser. It's meeting after church on Sunday, August the 18th, for anyone who would like to help. Please come.
Somebody help me. What date is that again? The actual... The actual...
October 11th. October 11th. But Sunday
is the 17th.
It's the 17th.
That's what I was just thinking.
Well, you need to come both days, obviously. So Sunday the 17th, we'll have the meeting. It's August, I mean, October 11th, right?
And I thought we were meeting today. No.
Cool. All right. Perfect.
Okay, so we're meeting next Sunday after church on the 17th.
Still
for anyone who would like to help. Next. We are having prayer garden brick pavers made. If you would like to have one made, they are $50 each. There are order forms on the cabinet outside the church offices.
And you know what? I had a little bit this one. I didn't put this in there. I should have to help you out. So... we got to look, and well, Julie got to look at the prayer garden, and we noticed that there's a little bit of a sag in, not much at all, but a little bit of a sag. And so what we decided, I contacted a couple places and sent them pictures, and they're going to come out and take a look at and exactly how to get that nice and level and install all of the bricks at the same time. So we kind of got that all in one project, but that little bit of sag, we're worried about it only enough that we want to get it fixed before, you know, you can really tell it. But that'll be part of the process, is having that done at the same time. I think this, I got that pretty close to right.
Before he come, maybe he could have both of them in there.
Okay.
Mom or dad.
We'll look.
I don't know.
Okay. We'll look at your...
Congratulations, Barb and Alan Smith's daughter, Casey Wigan, sorry. Is having a baby in October. Let's shower them with diapers, please. And we normally collect them in the Northex welcome area. Are there any other announcements?
Going to the Italian market in Nashville. So I sent out a text, so you can get information just
congratulations on having a guy with you this time if you're going there.
And we also have, we're working on September, we have October planned, so we've got other things. And if you have any ideas for men's activities, because I don't, you know, I don't really know what men really like to do. That's what my strong is, so if you have any ideas, let me know, and we'll be looking at it also.
I'll recommend a fire pit. Fall is good for fire pits and sitting around talking and just an idea. Telling stories. All right. Please, let's get our minds and hearts in order for the worship.
Serve the church, you all. Oh my gosh. Melt somebody's heart, please. Young men, y'all are awesome. Thank you.
Okay, let's rise for the call to worship. Today it's from Psalm 33. Happy are the people whose God is the Lord.
Truly, God is the Lord. He's on those who fear him, on those who hope in his steadfast love.
Our heart is glad in him because we trust in his holy name.
Let your steadfast love, O Lord, be upon us, even as we hope in you.
If we could close our eyes for the prayer of invocation. Dear Lord, thank you for bringing us here today in your house. We thank you for your guidance, grace, and protection. Please guide us by your word and in your way through this service by bringing us closer to you and nearer to your understanding of your word. Thanks be to God. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Good morning, church. We're going to sing, "'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus," and ain't it the truth?
"'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to
may be seated.
For the
I thought Whitney was here, so I have like a whole big long one. So yes. I knew it was a film break. I knew it was.
All right, the scripture of assurance today is from Isaiah chapter 1, verse 1, and chapter 1, verses 10 through 20. The vision of Isaiah, son of Amos, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Listen to the teaching of our God, you people of Gomorrah. What to me is the multitude of your sacrifices, says the Lord. I have had enough of burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts. I do not delight in the blood of bulls or of lambs or of goats. When you come to appear before me, who asked this from your hand? Trample my courts no more. Bringing offerings is futile. Incense is an abomination to me. New moon and Sabbath and calling of convocation, I cannot endure solemn assemblies with iniquity. Your new moons and your appointed festivals my soul hates. They have become a burden to me. I am weary of bearing them. When you stretch out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not listen. Your hands are full of blood. Wash yourselves, make yourselves clean, remove your evil deeds from before my eyes, cease to do evil, learn to do good, seek justice, rescue the oppressed, defend the orphan, plead for the widow. Come now, let us argue it out, says the Lord. If your sins are like scarlet, will they become like snow? If they are red like crimson, will they become like wool? If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken.
That gives me the shivers. This is week two of me trying to find if I can find assurance in some of the hardest scriptures in the Bible. And as I was looking at this, I saw it pop up, and I was like, hey, where do you find it? There's a tradition that happens in this scripture. It happens in Amos, it happens in Jeremiah, it happens in Micah, it happens in several places. And a prophet will come to the Lord and say, you're giving me all this worship services, and it's scary that we're doing this, and this is a worship service. Because you're doing all this sacrifice, you're doing all this worshiping, you're doing all this incense burning, you're singing all this, but I won't. It makes me sick when I watch you do it. And you're like, how in the world is that something we can find assurance in? And then we recognize that in every one of these, in Micah, in Amos, in Isaiah, in Jeremiah, every time that this motif is presented of, I can't stand your worship, there is always a way given out at the end. There's an out. There's a way through this thing. And it always ends with what it ends with in this one. Care for. That's your way out of this. And when you do those things, then when you come to worship, I'll just lose myself. Happens every time that there is way out of this challenging idea of what happens in worship. As I was looking at this, I was recognizing that I talk a lot about this stuff. About caring for the orphan, about caring for the poor. I talk a lot about it. And I start going, why do I do that so much? And you know why I do it? The Bible won't shut up about it. The reason I won't shut up about it is because the scriptures will not shut up about it. Prophet after prophet comes out and says, y'all get it, I want to. But God wants you to do this, and then you worship. It happens time and time and time again. The reason I won't shut up is because God won't shut up about it. There is an essence, there is a theme about our faith that what God wants more than anything else is not worship of God. It's that we live in this world in such a way that everything we do becomes worship of God. And so I would challenge us to remember that and look at these scriptures of assurance. So is simply how we love each other in this world. Thank God we are getting away out. Amen.
So it just struck me, hearing Pastor Jason talk about the assurance, that if we trust in Jesus, 'tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, and we follow Jesus like sheep follow the shepherd, we can have that assurance.
Yes.
So let's sing Savior Like a Shepherd Lead Us.
Thank you for your continued gifts. You know, Liz, you and I talked about something a while back that we never did that I think we need to follow up on. And I apologize because you had a great idea. One of the things that we want to do for a few weeks during the time of offering is recognize some of the other institutions that exist in the Cumberland Presbyterian world, the sphere of, you know, influence or whatever. And so over the next few weeks, we're just going to kind of dial in on some of the things that the Cumberland Presbyterian Church does. For instance, many of you all know that Bethel University is a part of the Cumberland Presbyterian tradition. It's in a covenant relationship with the church. We don't own it. But there's also Memphis Theological Seminary, where many of us pastors are trained. Help me out, Liz, Suzanne, others. There is the children's home. It's not called the children's home anymore. I can't remember the name of it. It's in Denton, Texas, and that's where our children, we have a children's ministry and a family ministry. So we have houses that the organization has purchased, and families who are in difficult times, children and single moms a lot, single parents a lot are who they take care of. And so that's another institution of our church, and there are others. So as we go through the next few weeks and talk about these, I just wanted us to kind of connect together sort of who we Cumberland Presbyterians are. So be anticipating hearing more of that over the next few weeks. Otherwise, thank you for your gifts and you're continuing to give. Thank you for us allowing there to be a place of Christian education and worship and service that exists in this town through our calling. I just thank you for that. And if we could, let's go to prayer. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to give. We thank you, God, that we get to give. We thank you that we get to receive, that this world is a part of that. And so as we talk about those organizations, Lord, we ask that you remind us that we help fund them through our tithes and offerings here. A little bit goes to them. And we're connected like that. And that's the important part of understanding giving, Lord, is that we are connected. We are one people in this world, all of us created by you. And so we thank you, God, that we get to share with one another and create places like this that become a beacon of light in your world. So thank you, God, for the chance to give. Thank you for the chance to receive. And thank you that we get to share with one another. We ask that you bless the time that we have now as we go into your word. Allow it to be something that is all of you and nothing else. And we ask it in your name. And God's people said.
This scripture reading is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8. As you know, and as God is our witness, we never came with words of flattery or with a pretext for greed, nor did we seek praise from mortals, whether from you or from others, though we might have made demands as apostles of Christ, but we were gentle among you, like a nurse tenderly caring for her own children. So deeply do we care for you that we are determined to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own selves, because you have become very dear to us.
I love how you read scripture, Amy. Thank you. Thank you, thank you. We've done a lot of context work the last couple of weeks to sort of understand the book of 1 Thessalonians, so I would rather this week to sort of get a little more lighthearted, and after my studying this week, just let us all recognize I am thrilled to death that I am not Catholic. It has zero to do with the Catholic faith. I think it's a fun I enjoy the representation of Catholics. Let me make sure I say this right. The marriage thing would be a little challenging, right? It's not the faith. It's that I don't necessarily want to be a Catholic priest. That would get in the way. The whole communion every single week, and I got to finish it all, is a little bit of a challenge to me. That's just not a world that I would choose to exist in, but that's not really the thing. How do I say this? I've known y'all for about 9 years now. Some of y'all less, but I've known some of y'all for about 9 years. How do I say it? I've talked to you. I know your voice. You with me? If you talk to me, I know who you are. I don't have to guess. And sometimes when I'm sitting in my office, if you walk down the hall, if I've heard you enough, I know by your walk who you are, not even your voice. I don't have to guess. And so let me say it like this. I don't want to have to sit in one of those little booths and act like I don't know that it's you confessing what you're confessing. I don't need that in my life, Charles. That's not something don't get me wrong. I got a pretty good poker face. I don't know that I have that good of a poker face. Don't get me wrong. That's a joke. I am here for you. I'm with you in your stuff. If you need to come talk, I will 100% listen. Just don't make me sit in a closet with a drape and a ear. Father Jason, I have sinned. That thing seems weird to me. I don't get how that the whole thing works. It feels incredibly vulnerable to do that. Like, there's a vulnerability in that that I don't quite understand. The idea of confessing to someone else. It's not like they got voice disguisers in those booths, and you know you got some people coming in with frequent flyer miles. I did a number one, a number three, about all the number sixes I could come up with in a 10 if I could have gotten away with it, you know? The Catholic faith takes that confession thing so incredibly serious. It's one of their sacraments. That's how important it is for there to be a confession in the Catholic faith. The Protestants, we have two sacraments, baptism and communion, and that's it. The Catholic faith has seven. It starts at baptism, then it goes through confirmation, which is kind of like baptism part two. It helps you get ready for your witness to the world. There's communion, confession, marriage, ordination, last rites or healing or unction, whichever one you call it. I don't know what unction means. And for Catholics, those sacraments press into you the grace of God. That's the understanding in the Catholic faith. It presses into you, through those sacraments, the very grace of God. Protestants don't believe that sacraments give us grace. We believe they're a sign of grace. It's already given. And I'm glad we only got the two. I'm good without confessions. But I tell you, here's what I got to this week as I was thinking about this. The concept of confession as grace catches my attention for that reason alone, is that it's so overwhelmingly vulnerable to do that. Just seems to me so incredibly vulnerable. It's part of receiving grace, not acknowledging grace. But if it's truly the confession part of receiving grace, then it's contingent over me turning myself over to God and allowing someone else to hear it, and who might hear me, who might know me then in my troubles. And that got me to thinking, how important is vulnerability in the faith? Do the Catholics have something here? Is there a benefit to being vulnerable in the faith? Is it necessary? Or have we forgotten how to be vulnerable anymore? I got to thinking about this, and one of the things I realized this week as I was just kind of pondering all this is that everything about our God, from the in the beginning to the amen, right? Everything about our God is about God and God's people being vulnerable to one another. Look in the scripture. That's what it is the entire way through. Everything the whole way through is about, can I be vulnerable in this place to God and then to the entire world? What is my stance in this? Vulnerability in the Bible. Let me point these out. The creation, the very idea that God created made God vulnerable. God had it all made, hanging by himself. I don't know if you ever known or not, but I like being alone. It's fun. You can relax. You ain't got to worry. And then God decided that in this nothingness, there would be something that was created. And once God made us, we could do apparently whatever we choose. And that made God vulnerable. God does. Even Jesus wept, church. God made the covenant with Israel. If you make a promise, wait, if you and I make a promise to each other, and I mean we make a covenant with each other, by the very nature of us promising to one another, we put ourselves both vulnerable, because you might not and I might still, or I might not and you might still. And that very notion of just promising to one another like God promised to Israel makes everybody vulnerable. Joy and pain become right there for the taking. God, according to Jews, resided with Israel. It's a bold statement, church. It's a bold statement to say God resides with us. And if so, God abided in the tabernacle, and then God abided in the temple, the Holy of Holies. And then if the temple is destroyed, who's vulnerable? Does that mean God's evicted? We knock down the house. Where does God? God and people become vulnerable. The prophets proclaim the pain and the anguish of God all through the Old Testament. It wasn't just Jeremiah that lamented. It was God's lament. That was the whole purpose. You don't lament if you're not vulnerable. I can't, of course, imagine, none of us, I would assume, can imagine anything more vulnerable than the incarnation of Jesus Christ. What's more vulnerable than that? We turned over a majestic robe for swaddling clothes. He turned over the majestic robe for the robe of the commoner. He took the glory of the throne room and he took it to the ridicule of the cross. He took life in the heavens and came to death on earth. That is baffling to me, how vulnerable God decided to be in the very presence of Jesus Christ. Find me a king in our world today or at any time in history. Find me a single king or anybody who lusts to be a king that dares be as vulnerable as that. Doesn't happen. It's not who we are. Church, the kings and powers of this world are not worthy of us unless they become that vulnerable. But vulnerable didn't just lead to the cross, remember. Vulnerable doesn't just bring us risk and pain, remember. Vulnerability isn't a path to pain. Vulnerability was what allowed Jesus Christ to teach. That's what allowed him to be able to sit down with people and be with people in their healings, be with them in their needs and their concerns, to know them and to love them passionately. How much did Christ love those he encountered? He accepted people. He invited people to his table and he accepted invitations to others. It's what caused him vulnerability is to say things like, "Blessed are poor, are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they are God's children, and nothing in this world, I don't think, makes us as vulnerable as making peace." And then all the people in Jesus' life were all vulnerable. The greatest of the Good Samaritans, he was vulnerable and all was his people. The woman who had the bleeding problem, Jesus was with her and he was looking for her. He was delivering her and she was so vulnerable when she crawled through the crowd to grab a hold of him. Find me someone who wasn't vulnerable in Scripture. Find me one. One that had an encounter with Jesus Christ or God. Find me one. From his closest friends all the way to the Roman legion there to a person, they were all vulnerable. And I think I come to the understanding that to have a true encounter with Jesus Christ, that's what we have to be. We have to become purely vulnerable. Because those who didn't hear him, those who couldn't find their way, and those who would not become vulnerable when he asked them to, they walled themselves off in the world in Scripture, walled them off with the world's concerns, and he could not save them to a life that is so amazingly good if we'll just let go and be vulnerable with one another, because vulnerable is God. That's who God is. I read somewhere, someone said, humans live in a precarious place. We ache for the divine near enough to hold, but then we stay veiled so that we can partially see. Maybe you can prove me wrong, but I think I got this question. Is there any good relationship that we can have that's not based in vulnerability? Can we have a relationship that's not based in that? I'm sure none of y'all are vulnerable in your marriage, right? Doesn't that what it takes is being vulnerable with one another? That's how you develop a marriage, a business relationship. A good boss-employee relationship is built on vulnerability. The employee evaluation is all you need to know that. Can I hear what's being said to me? And can a boss exist with me enough to know what's going on in my life? These are things that we have to do to have a relationship, is to become vulnerable with one another. You know, I joked about hearing confessions, but some of people have talked in my office. Not confessions necessarily, but they are deep things that we've talked about right over there in that office. And how vulnerable did we become with one another when we did so? We heard each other. We talked to each other. We listened to one another. We've made relationships because of it. And I know some of you specifically because you were kind enough to me to be vulnerable. It just seems that vulnerability maybe might just be a key to this whole thing. I don't think vulnerability is a glitch. I think it's a feature of love. It's what we have to be. I say all of this because there is nothing more vulnerable than about those three or four sentences that Paul just mentioned a second ago. That's some of the most vulnerable stuff I've ever seen in my life. It just pours off the page. He's open and he's honest and he's caring and he's thoughtful and he's so compassionate. I want to read it again. Are you up there? Are you still a young man? Yeah. Hey, go back to the scripture for me if you would. Just pull it up. I'm going to work my way through it. You can just kind of leave it up. I want to read the first part. I'll read the whole thing again. Then we're going to look at it just for a second. As you know, and listen for the vulnerability in this. As you know, and as God is our witness, we never came with words of flattery or with a pretext of greed, nor did we seek praise from mortals, whether from you or from others, though we might have made demands as possible apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you, like a nurse, tenderly caring for her own children. So deeply do we care for you that we're determined to not just share only the gospel of God, but also our own selves, because you have become very dear to us. The first sentence, never came with words of flattery, because flattery isn't vulnerable. It's manipulative is what it is. It uses and it arranges and it protects. Vulnerable is tender and vulnerable is honest, but not the honest that comes with, well, I'm just being real. The honest that makes someone go, hey, that's an honest person right there. That kind of honesty comes with vulnerability. The second sentence, we didn't come in greed or seek praise from mortals, you or anybody else. That's vulnerable. What gives me cover to get what I want are things like greed and praise. That's how I get what I want. If I want what I want, I can praise you and I can have a little greed and I get what I need, right? Let me satisfy my greed and my need and my ego and the world will be a better place, but my life will feel better, I assure you. We need to know that about ourselves. It's hard for the right hand to know what the left hand is doing in the burrito ministry, isn't it sometimes, Suzanne? There gets that little bit of pride in us, that little bit of, oh, look what we're doing. It exists in us, and we have to know it. And sometimes it feels like we got good reason to feel a little uppity. I mean, Paul was an apostle of Christ, y'all. He was an apostle of Christ. There weren't many of those running around. There was the 13 that we know about, right? 12 plus the one. Then there was Junius and Andronicus. There was Paul. There was Silvanus and Timothy, probably by association. We don't know. There's a couple more that we can find in Scripture. And so don't you know, among this little group of followers, Paul had reason, if he wanted to make some demands. But he said, that's not what we do here, you see. That's not how we act. That's not who we are. Paul said, I was a Pharisee, I did those things. When I was a Pharisee, I liked those things, but not anymore. I was saved from those. And so instead, what he says is, and this is the next full sentence, it's so full of life. He said, actually, nobody knows what he says next. This is so interesting. So go to the next slide, if you would. Paul said one of two things here, and we don't know what he said. He either said, we were gentle among you, like a nurse tenderly caring for her own children. Or he might have said, we were like infants among you, like a nurse tenderly caring for her own children. If you look in your Bible, you'll probably find both of them. It'll probably say one of them and have a little mark and say some ancient traditions also say this. And nobody really knows. And I'll be honest with you, I don't care which one you think it is, because the point of it is exactly the same. Come as gentle, come as an infant. Either one, you're refusing the world's ways of erecting walls. I didn't come in greed, and I didn't come as an adult to teach you. I came gentle as a child. I came simple as someone unconcerned with status or ego or self. And that's so vulnerable, man. And then the second half of the sentence is beautiful too. Like a nurse tenderly caring for her own children. You got to hear this, man. This is not like a nurse, like Suzanne's a nurse, okay? There was a group of people that were hired at a time for the elite families to be a wet nurse. The elite families would hire someone of a lower class, or maybe they would use a trusted servant who would then become the one who fed the infant. And here's the thing about that. You can control what somebody eats and drinks if you want to. especially if they work for you or if they're your servant. You can control them. And so culturally, this group that did this was a lower class of people. And here's the other part. Milk at the time, this is crazy, we kind of still see this. Milk at the time was connected to character formation. If you had good and plenty, people expected you to have good character. If you didn't, people expect you would have bad character. And now let's say that you have a child and you work for your master or whoever it is, and they've got children. Who gets fed first? There's archaeological evidence that wet nurses of that day might often wean their children early. Well, they might not get as much. They might come third or fourth or fifth. Paul says he comes like a mother nurse, tenderly caring for her own children. Mothers, y'all get this one. We can't get it. We men don't understand it. I would love for one of you all someday to preach a sermon that what it meant for Paul to come to them like that. Paul came, of course, not only with the gospel. He would be vulnerable. That would be vulnerable enough in this world, but with himself. In order to show them what he cared, he didn't come just with the gospel. He came with himself, just his faith to give to others, his life to give to others, because he was vulnerable to them and he loved them. I've heard about Paul all my life. I've always heard about how hard he was, about how difficult he was. He was like the what do you call it? The not the drill sergeant. What do they call it? They call it something else. Drill instructor. Did I get that right? I got close enough. Came like the drill instructor for the faith in a way. That's who he was seen as. But then he comes like this in order to live with others for the faith because he wanted to love them. You can see in the midst of his trials and tribulations, the love he had, the care, the concern, the faith that he had for people. These Christians of Thessalonica and Paul and Silas and Timothy had something special going on. They had this love and this care for one another that the world absolutely cannot understand because they were vulnerable to one another. In the name of Jesus Christ, they give up everything for each other because there is no right relationship in this world that becomes as beautiful as God intended our relationships to be without the blessing of us being vulnerable to one another. Of course, we got to be careful with it, don't we? We don't want to go to emotionally vomiting around and calling that, vulnerability. We don't want to emotionally dump on people. That's not vulnerability. That's something else. Two stories. I was a youth pastor. We went to Gatlinburg one time. And with an hour of us getting there, hour and a half, I was on my way to the ER with two of my kids because they decided they want to start drinking. So about 2 o'clock in the morning, I'm there, and one of them lived in Farragut, so his dad had picked him up. The other one, I called his parents. I was like, man, I can't teach him a thing if he doesn't stay here with me. And so here we go for the weekend, and Gummy Bear, that was his nickname, was right beside me all weekend long. The other one had to go home, but about Sunday, he came back. And he came back, and he was like, Jason, I'm just so sorry. I'm just so sorry. I'm just so sorry. I want to go talk to kids about not drinking. I was like, dude, you were in the ER 2 days ago. Slow down. It ain't that fast. Be easy. Chill out. Sometimes we don't have to dump who we are out. We can just acknowledge something that is there and work with it and work with people. But he wanted to just let it all out in the moment. That's not always good. Another guy came in my office a couple of years ago. He had been dealing with a particular issue in his life and a state of sinfulness, he believed it was. And he came and he told me that he'd beaten it. And then he told me he wanted to go tell everybody about how to beat it. And I was like, how about this? Don't. Talk one-on-one with people. Live life with people. Let them get it that way. Don't just dump it all out there, right? We know that we can't. There's a difference in vulnerability and too much information. No, vulnerability is not that. Vulnerability is the method to the Christian madness. That's what it is. It's more than just opening ourselves up to tell our stories. Vulnerability is about hearing a world that doesn't always get listened to. It's about listening, about opening our ears. Vulnerability is about slowing down to understand rather than hurrying up to go convict. It's about being curious rather than being certain of myself and certain of my world. It's knowing that at one point in life, I thought I had all the answers, and then that one time I was wrong about that one thing, and I had to say I wasn't right about everything. And then it happened again, Jerry. And it happened again. And then it happened again. And then it happened again. Vulnerable is about being in this world. It's about risking ourselves because the risk is worth it. Other people are worth it. I'm worth it. You're worth it. Our relationship with our God and our God's world is worth it. So let me be extremely clear with this. Vulnerability is not weak. That is one thing it is not. It is not weak. To be vulnerable means to be as powerful as one can be. Vulnerability, church, is a superpower. Because when we're vulnerable, that's when we can know one another. We can lift burdens with one another when we're vulnerable. And we can shout on joys with each other when we're vulnerable. We can stand boldly and we can risk it all. Because in the end, it's no risk at all to simply care. Being vulnerable is a way of being, a stance that we take in this world, and it sure beats the defensive stances of apathy and anxiousness and fear and cynicism. Being vulnerable is when we are our absolute bravest. For fear is what we are told we should drive, or should drive us, and vulnerability bows to no fear in this world. Vulnerability is the courage to be seen as we are before God and before our neighbor, and seeing every single neighbor in that same divine light, and then trusting that love will do in our weakness what our strengths could never do. The vulnerability is what can show us peace and the love of God and love of neighbor that the world will never comprehend. It can't understand it, church. The world can't understand it. You know why? When's the last time you've seen the world be vulnerable? The way of Christ is the bravest thing in the world. Which means, by the way, that every other way of living is a way of cowardice. People take the easy way out and never realize that there is a way that's paved with grace and peace and mercy and joy and love, because we refuse to be vulnerable to it. That's the way our kingdom and to our king, that's the way it has to be, though. That's a kingdom, by the way, and a king that will never be conquered, no matter who believes they're in charge. If we follow Christ, we don't have a choice in one thing. If we're going to follow Paul to the promised land, we must continue to remember what it means to be vulnerable. And praise be to God, when we do, we'll know we found God. We found Him because God was vulnerable for us first. Let us go be vulnerable in a world that desperately needs us. And God's people said. Our final song this morning is "Oh, How He Loves You and Me." Pretty solid ending. Would you please rise?
Oh, how He loves you and me.
Maybe see.
Okay, Janice, thank you all this week for leading us in worship as well. We have
prayer requests came in from Toby, and my dear friend Lee Hazlett passed away last Sunday. Please pray for his wife Peggy, daughters Dana and Shauna, and his family and friends, and continue to pray for you all as we navigate our moving adventure, and I would argue pray for us as you all go through your moving adventure. Continue prayers for you all, and so sorry to hear of your friend Lee, and prayers for his family. From Melanie, please pray for young man Lee Russell, greatly suffering from a sarcoma that I cannot pronounce. But pray for his family and friends. Yeah, absolutely. Are there others that need be? Yeah, Suzanne.
Just continue prayer for mom and her prayer.
Yeah, Suzanne's mom has been struggling with cardiac issues and blood pressure issues and everything else, and is continuing to do so. So please pray for BB. Who also got another dog. Everybody getting another dog lately, and they got another dog too. So, are there others? Yes, ma'am.
I'm having a hip replaced next week, so I'm just being referring to some office, but who has to take care of it?
Yeah, soon get a hip replaced next week. What day?
Tuesday.
Please be prayer for Susan and Mike as you attend care. Thank you, sir, for being such a caring caregiver. Yeah, please be in prayer for you. Are there others this morning? Yes, ma'am.
Prayers for Carlene.
Yeah, Carlene went to the doctor. Somebody help me. Monday? Was it Monday? She got put in the hospital? And she was in hospital till Wednesday or Thursday morning or something. And they went and did a heart cath. And he's like, yeah, you got some blockage. Just not enough that we can do anything about. And, oh, yeah, our machine is broken, so we can't check you more. So, yeah, bless her. She is struggling with this, so please keep
going. This Thursday to a cardiologist.
Going to another cardiologist Thursday.
Well, it was the original one, but then she had this pickup last week.
Gotcha.
That's what her to the hospital.
Gotcha.
So, hopefully Thursday she
finds
out.
Thursday. Hope so. Yes, yes, yes. Yes, ma'am.
First,
praying for you, brother. Love you.
Quick phrase. Our grandmother has recovered from surgery very well, and she has just recently started eating solid food.
Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Thanks for letting us know. That's Ms. Linda, she had some throat surgery and is now able to take solid food. That's great. Yes, ma'am. Keep our brother Johnny lifted up in your prayers, if you would, please. Thank you. Yes, ma'am. Continue prayers for Lauren. Has she been back to the doctor? We know.
She's still waiting for the answers.
Okay. Still waiting for some answers. Please be in prayers for Lauren. Yes, ma'am.
I have a praise and a prayer request. It's the same thing. So, a couple weeks ago, I said that my brother-in-law's cancer had returned. We found out it has not returned. It is a different issue, sarcoidosis, not fatal, and it's treatable.
Good. Tell me his name again.
Wayne,
yep. His last name?
Schleimer.
Yes, okay, so Gary's brother, yeah. Gotcha. Yes, sir.
After 3 years and 3 months, the doctors told my sister-in-law that it appears her cancer had been cured.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, tell me your name.
Jillian.
Yep. Jillian. I can't remember how to spell it.
G-E-L-I-E-N-E, I believe.
Gotcha. That's wonderful news. Wonderful news. Yes, ma'am.
My daughter Ann has health concerns and a test tomorrow.
Yeah, please lift up Ann in your prayers. Many of you know Ann. Anybody else? Anybody else? Ask y'all to put Logan and Brittany in your prayers as well. Friends of ours.
Let's go to God in prayer.
Yeah.
Sorry.
What's that? Oh, Daniel and his partner. We can't remember her name, but a friend of ours, Daniel, and his partner have asked for prayers.
Yeah. Anybody else? Yes, ma'am.
Prayers for Ed and Jackie, and prayers for Joyce, brother, and you as well, Joyce and Steve. Yeah, prayers for Sherry and Mr. West. For those who don't know, Mr. West came home Sherry's dad came home from rehab and is bed bound now, and so Sherry is there
all the time.
So please lift up, or anybody else.
We have this list each week because we recognize the most vulnerable place. Different kind of vulnerable. The vulnerable things sneak up on you. Things happen. And it puts us in the vulnerable where we feel out of control. When we see others, they feel out of control and don't know how to engage with them. And so it's a different kind of vulnerable. We don't like it. It's difficult. It's challenging. But what you said was, be vulnerable to me instead. And so that's what we do each week when we give these names out. We talk about how we are softening ourselves to you and our brothers and sisters in this world, because that's what we need to do, to be soft with one another, to heal one another, to care for one another like we need to. And we do this, Lord, with this list, because this list is so incredibly important to us. This is people we love, and these are people we care so much for. So we put these on the list fast, but some of us don't know some of these people on the list. They're strangers to us. And yet that connection, Lord, brings them into our world, and we feel the need to pray for them. I thank you for those that take this list and pray for them all week long. Thank you, God, for that. But we also know that this list is so incomplete, for the entire world needs your prayers. And so we lift up this existence to you and just ask us, or ask you to tell us, how can we be vulnerable in your world to lead your way? That's what we want. Most important of anything is to live out of your will. And so teach us, God, how to be vulnerable in this world. So not only does we can work with this list, but the list even grows when we know it's all of creation that needs it. We ask for this in your prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Would you please rise for the benediction? And if anybody had bets on how many times I would say vulnerable today, collect your winnings. Go in joy, go in peace, go in grace, go in mercy, go in love, and go be vulnerable. And Lord, release us from this place, but never from you or from one another. And God's people said,
Amen. Amen.